לך לך את הברית ואת החסד אשר נשבע לאבותיך. God says ישמור לך הבטחתו, Jesus. God will keep his word. So that talks about the reward for the mitzvot. And then the Torah goes on to tell us about all the reward. You'll get this and you'll get that. A lot of things that one gets. Baruch tehiyeh. Ve'esir Hashem imecha kol holi. No diseases. Protection from our enemies. Fertility. Beracha in the assets. So,
without me?
No, I'm just giving an introduction.
Oh, okay, good. Okay.
Baruch haba, James. Yes, absolutely, of course.
Oh, hold on, how much do you see?
You get to a certain age, you do it anyway.
87 years old, like,
yeah, very old. Jimmy, you ready? Tell me when you're ready, Jimmy. I don't want to start till you're absolutely...
No, he's ready. If you let go of my leg, I'll...
Not used to you Sharesion guys that come in and own the place. I come from a simple shul. Sharesion guys come in.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, they bully us around. All right. So now... What do you think we have, Gabe? Okay, good. Why not? So anyway, the reward is going to come. The Torah guarantees it. If you look at the end of last week's parasha, however... The pasuk says, "Veshamarta et haMitzvah, veet haChokim, veet haMishpatim, asher anochim mitzvecha hayom la'asotam." So the pasuk says that you'll keep the mitzvot, and you'll do them today, hayom la'asotam. So Rashi right away says, "Hayom la'asotam, ulmachal le'olam haba litol secharam." So the reward for the mitzvot is not in this world, as she says. It's le'olam haba. The pasuk says hayom la'asotam. Today is the world of action. We live in olam ha'asiyah. However, the reward is not till tomorrow. It's a delayed reward. Mahar lekabel secharam. So contradictory pasukim here. This pasuk says you have to wait till tomorrow. It's the last week's parasha. You have to wait till tomorrow. You turn one page into parashat Ekev, and it tells you do the mitzvot and you get the reward. It doesn't say anything about tomorrow over here. So the question is, how do you reconcile the two pasukim? Understand the questions, Rabotai? Yes. Very simple question today. The answer is not so simple, but the question is simple. Over here it says, "Hayom la'asotam." This world has nothing to do with reward, action, reward later on. Next pasuk, "Vayayekev tishmuret ha'mishpatim ha'ele, mishpatem ma'asitem otam." Then what? All the reward is to follow. Now I also noticed something else. For some reason it says in this parasha, "Vayayekev tishmeun et ha'mishpatim." There's different types of mitzvot. There's mitzvot that are called mishpatim. Those are the logical laws, the ones that we understand. Those are the ones that you'd probably do even if the Torah didn't tell you to do it. Mishpatim, that makes sense. Then you have, of course, the chukim. The chukim are the laws that really... We don't have a good understanding why we have to do them. We do them because Hashem said, obviously. Hukim is like basar b'halav, like sha'atnez, like tefillin, like sisit. These are mitzvot that we really don't have too much of a handle on understanding the reasons for the mitzvot. So those are hukim. But over here it says, "Vayayikim zunit the mishpatim." It seems if you keep the mishpatim, you get a reward. In this world. Torah only mentions Mishpatim in the Ekev. Doesn't mention the Hukim for some reason. Tells you Mishpatim. And Mishpatim you get a reward in this world for. So that's a nice thing to know. If that's the case, that means if a guy fulfills Kibud Ab Va'im, he honors his parents. It's a Mishpat. Makes sense. Ah, Kaved Mikved Amecha, your reward is on the way. Immediate. Don't take revenge. Be nice to widows. Be nice to the orphans. Makes sense. You do that, Shpatim, you get reward in this world. You borrowed money, pay it back. Makes sense. Get reward in this world. That's what it sounds like. Something, if you do Mishpatim, God says there's no delay. The reward comes immediate. Question is, why? Why is that? So I once heard an unbelievable hiddush on this, to explain this, in the Akedat Yitzhak, that we read every day. The Akedat Yitzhak that we read every day in the 30 pages of the Siddur that we skip. Meaning before Baruch Sha'amar, you see most people's Siddurim, the 30 pages, they're connected. They didn't even separate the pages. They're still glued to each other. When it comes to Baruch Sha'amar already, the pages all have marks on them. There's no coffee on the first 30 pages. The first 30 pages are still glued together. So how does he know what's inside of it? He doesn't know what's inside. He can't even open it yet. On Shabbat, he would not be able to rip them apart. It's like a new book. They're still perforated. He still has the perforated detachment. But in those 30 pages, if you ever have a chance to open it up, you'll see that there's the Akedat Yitzhak over there. We start the prayer with the Akedat Yitzhak, which is the end of Vayera. So there's an interesting thing. God tells Avraham Avinu to go to the Akedat Yitzhak. Go take your son. He was 37 years old, and go put him on the Mizbeah. So Avraham Avinu doesn't even delay. He takes his son, v'yelechush elem yahdav, v'yakod Yitzhak beno, he puts him on the Mizbeah, v'yishlach Avraham et yado, he's about to slaughter him, v'yikra elam malach Hashem en ha-shamayim, Abraham, Abraham, al tishlach yadech al hanar, ואל תעשו מאומה, כי אתה ידעתי כי יראה אלוהים אתה, ועסק מכן יחידך ממני. וישא אברהם את עיניו, וירא בנאי לאחד נאחז בשיבה בכנף. He sees there's a ram over there, he takes the ram, ויקרא מלאך השם אל אברהם שני מן השמיים. The angel comes again a second time. Then he gives him a blessing. The first time he didn't give him a blessing. The first time he just told him, you're good, you passed the test. That, stop. The second time, for some reason, the angel decides to give him a beracha. Why the first time the angel doesn't give him a beracha, and the second time he gives him a beracha? If Avraham did something correct, the angel should tell from the beginning, Hazaku Baruch, beracha. In the beginning, all the angel tells Avraham is Hazaku Baruch. That's it. Beracha, no beracha. The angel comes back a second time and says, by the way, Avraham, now you're getting a beracha for what you did. Why didn't I get a beracha 2 minutes ago? So the Mefarshim say, amazing. There's two types of mitzvot. There's certain mitzvot that you don't get pleasure from them, like we said. There's no pleasure in doing them. Tefillin, you don't get a pleasure from doing the tefillin. It's not a physical pleasure. You wear them. You get it. But there's other types of mitzvot that you get pleasure. Eating on Shabbat. Oneg Yom Tov. I wear a new suit on Yom Tov. It's a hana'ah. There's certain mitzvot that there's a pleasure in them, And there's certain mitzvot that are not in the pleasure in them. Same thing with avirot. Certain avirot, there's a pleasure in the avira. Whatever the avira is, certain people get a pleasure in an avira. Not every avira is a pleasure. I mean, you see, Torah says you can't eat a tarantula. I don't think it's a hana'an eating a tarantula or drinking a cup of blood. But there's certain avirot that this is clearly hana'an. So the Mefarshim say amazing. When a person does a mitzvah and the mitzvah doesn't have any hana'ah, there's no pleasure to that item. So God doesn't give you reward in this world. No pleasure, no pleasure. You did a mitzvah that has no pleasure, so you didn't have any pleasure. So no pleasure. The pleasure will be then. I'm not going to give you pleasure. No pleasure, no pleasure. But when a person refrains from an avera that had pleasure, that means he could have enjoyed himself. He could have. I could have enjoyed myself. And he says, you know what? God said. So there the Mefarshim say, God says, you could have enjoyed yourself and you didn't, you get the enjoyment now. You understand the klal?
In this world.
Because you could have had pleasure in this world. So you abstain from having pleasure in this world because it's avera. God says, no, you don't lose. God's like, no, you're going to get it in the next world. I want it now. I could have had hana'a on Monday. The big ice cream over there, delicious ice cream, and the guy, the rabbis told him, you're not allowed to have it because you have to wait 6 hours between milk and meat. Said, oh, these rabbis are killing me. By 6 hours, it's going to melt. We know in 6 hours it's going to melt. There's no ice cream. So the guy depriving himself of the hana'a, he said, only because God. He doesn't have it. So he loses out from the pleasure. God says, don't worry. Next day, the guy wins the lottery, $1 million. So what happened? That's the reward for not eating the ice cream. Why? You gave me your pleasure, I give you a pleasure. No, you're not going to lose out. You'll get it here. What about Olam Haba? That's another hijbon. Olam Haba, we'll talk about Olam Haba.
Is he getting ice cream?
He gets what do you call it? The kitchen sink. Remember the kitchen sink?
Banana split.
They used to call it, there used to be a store in Brooklyn, Jans. They used to go there for graduation. They used to go to Caravelle first, but then they found that it wasn't kosher. And they didn't feel it was appropriate. They didn't feel it was appropriate graduating yeshiva to go to a non-kosher restaurant for the graduation, which is, I think, a proper hajmon. School teaches them 8 years to eat kosher. Where do the kids go right after they graduate? Non-kosher. And they had the tuna fish. That's a whole other story. Anyway, so therefore, because a person refrains from the avera, which is a hana'a, so he gets reward in this world. But if there's no hana'a, then you don't get a reward. Based on this, they say amazing. Avram Abinu was told by God, go take his son to slaughter him as Akedah. There's no pleasure in that mitzvah. Clearly there's no pleasure. There's no pleasure in that. Go take your son, put him on the mizbeah. It's torture. So the angel comes along and tells Avraham Abinu after he takes his son for the Akedah, Hazak Baruch. Where's my blessing? There's no blessing. Where there's no pleasure? You didn't have a pleasure in doing this over here. You didn't refrain yourself from any type of pleasure or anything. You did a mitzvah that was difficult for you. Okay, difficulty. You only get reward in this world from refraining yourself from a pleasure. You didn't refrain yourself from a pleasure. You did a hard thing. A hard thing, you get reward in Olam Haba. So the angel comes to Avraham Avinu and tells him originally, Hazak. And all of a sudden he tells him now, Take him off the Mizbeah. Now could you imagine the joy that Avraham Avinu has to take him off the Mizbeah? That's a mitzvah over here where the hana'a is so incredible for Avraham Avinu to take him off. Which is, if you ask a normal guy, why are you taking your son off the Mizbeah? He's there because I don't want to kill him. Yeah, but God told you. I know God told you, but I'm happy that even if God didn't tell me, I'm happy. To take the son off the Mizbeh is a tremendous ana'ah. Abraham Avinu's only son. He's his progeny. From this son is going to grow Klaus. You know the hana'ah that Abraham Avinu has? But the Hakamim say, what was the motivating fact that Avraham Avinu took him off the Mizbeah? Why did he take it? If you put an apparatus on Avraham's brain that could measure personal and the Shem Shamayim, what was the motivating factor why Avraham took his son off the Mizbeah? Only because Hashem told him. There was no hana'ah in it. It's impossible. That's Avraham Avinu. The only reason why you didn't slaughter your son when I told you don't slaughter him, mimeni, because I told you. It's an amazing thing.
Only Hashem
can know that. That means Avraham Avinu could have had a pleasure in that when God told him don't do it. It's a lo ta'aseh, it has a pleasure. Don't do it, beauty. I'm happy don't do it, genuine don't do it. But Avraham Avinu, at that moment when God said, don't do it, he suppressed his pleasure and he gave it back to God. At that point, the angel says, Ki barecha barechicha. Now you get blessed in this world. Now you have a barecha. You understand the hasbon? Akam Palachi, you got the hasbon? Which means, to do the akidah, you want reward? You only reward in this world is for suppressing pleasure. You suppress pleasure, you get pleasure. Abraham says, God says to Abraham, go slaughter your son. There's no pleasure in that. So there's no reward in that in this world. But then God says, take him off the Mizbeah. Stop. Don't do it. On the don't do it, there's a lot of pleasure. Don't do it. There's a lot of pleasure. I don't want to slaughter my son. And the greatest of Avraham Avinu, when he did that mitzvah of don't do it, zalot ta'aseh, don't slaughter your son now, take him off the Mizbeah. He did it without any hana'ah. So God says, you did this mitzvah that has pleasure, and you suppressed it, you're not going to lose out. Avraham Avinu said, God, I lost that, I could have ice cream, I enjoy. You're right, you get the ice cream now, we'll give you more ice cream, don't worry about it. You're going to get rewarded. That's why the second angel tells him the second time, ki barecha barechecha. For the suppression of the hana'ah that you gave me back. Is it clear, boys? Oh, so now we go back to another thing. There was a rabbi called Rav Sa'adia Gaon. Maybe some of you have heard of him. Sa'adia Gaon. One of the Gaonim. Philosopher. He says that we have two types of mitzvot. One mitzvah he calls mitzvot shamiyot. And then he says the other mitzvah is called mishpatim. Mishpatim, I know what they are, they're logical. But what's shamiyot? Shamiyot, he says, is the mitzvot that you only do them because you heard it from God. No other reason. Shamiyot is another word for a chok. Yeah, I never heard from God either.
Right.
It's that we heard from God, from Sinai. You at Sinai, no? Yes. No, you were at Sinai.
I was at Sinai.
It says everybody's neshama was at Har Sinai. You remember, you don't remember, but you were there. You were there. There's nothing to talk about. Ah, no, could be it was with the vacation. When was it? No, it was Rav Sivan. It was Rav Sivan. Oh, no, you guys go on the yacht. That's when you go on the yacht. Everybody's on the yacht, Rav Sivan, no? Greece. You guys were probably in Greece. Okay. I forgot that. You're right.
They stayed in Egypt.
No, they were on the Mediterranean, on the yacht, with the private chef. That's what they were doing. I'm just saying that.
If you invite me.
Okay. Now I don't even have as of now, I don't have to deal with that question because I was never invited. Right. If you invite me, then I don't have to grapple with it. But as of now, I never have to think about the question. Now, the question is like this. Oh, so comes out that there's mitzvot shamiyot. Mitzvot shamiyot, that Rav Sa'adia Gaon learns, those are mitzvot that are, the only reason why you're doing it is because you heard it. You don't have a reason to do it. So he says, imagine when a person fulfills the mishpatim. There's two ways to fulfill a mishpat. Honor your parents, let's say. It makes sense. When you honor your parents, There's a pleasure in doing something that you understand. There's a pleasure in that. When you do things that make sense, you have a hana'a, it's called hana'at asikhir. When you do things that are intellectually sound, there's a pleasure in doing that. As opposed to doing things that are, you know, wrong, or you don't understand them, so what are you doing? You're a robot. But you know, I did the right thing. Guy goes, helps an almana. It makes sense what he did. It feels good. It makes sense. The right thing. So, technically, there's really nothing wrong with doing a mishpat and feeling good about it. You understand? There's nothing wrong with that inherently. But, if you do the mishpat and you enjoy it, no problem. God says your reward's got to wait till Olam Habah. Because you enjoy it. You got the enjoyment already. Anytime you enjoy here, you don't get enjoyment there. Anytime you suppress enjoyment, you get it here. So no problem. You want to do the mishpat, do it. But imagine I did the mishpat, not because it makes sense, not because God said. No. I do the mishpat because God said. Why do I give tzedakah? Hashem said. It makes sense to give tzedakah. Hashem said, that's my kavanah, Hashem said. Ultimately, that's the highest level of doing a mitzvah, where the only motivating factor is what? Hashem said. Finish. Makes sense, not make sense. Hashem said. Like the rabbi that gave tzedakah to the Ani. And he gave him money, and the Ani left. He gave him a gold shilling. The Ani thought that the rabbi made a mistake. Usually they give a quarter. He gave him a gold shilling. See, before the rabbi could change his mind, the Ani ran out so he can get on the bus and go. And before the rabbi catches it. P.S. the rabbi caught it. He tells the Shemosh, go catch the guy. The poor guy says, what a mazal I have. I almost got escaped. And my lucky day, they can take it back from me. He comes back to the Rav and he gives the shilling back. He opens his hand to give the shilling back. The rabbi takes out another gold shilling and gives it to him. And the guy leaves. Now he runs double fast. So the students come up and said, Hakam, we thought you were going to take away the first one. You gave him a second one? He said, I'll be honest with you. The first time when I gave it to him, I saw a guy who was ani, he's famished, tattered clothes. I felt bad for the guy. I wasn't even thinking about the mitzvah tzedakah. So now I said, you know what? What about the mitzvah? Hashem told me to do this. So I went back the second time. Yes. This is for God. God told me to give tzedakah. Yeah. That's what I'm telling you, yeah. You have a claim? Take me to court. You have enough lawyers, you guys. Take me to court. Take me to court. Yeah, I'm saying it. Don't intimidate you. Don't intimidate me. The second one he gave it, the Shem Shamayim. So he says, that's what it says in Tzedakah, Naton Titen. Give twice. First time you give, Rahamim. Second time you give, because you have to give. No Rahamim, when he gave it already. Give because you have to give. Naton Titen. So anyway, if a person does the mishpat, he does the laws that make sense to him, but he does it because Hashem said, so what is he basically doing? He's closing the benefit of his understanding. He's suppressing that benefit. So therefore, it's possible that if a person keeps a mishpat like a hawk, you can get reward in this world. Because the guy's not letting his logic, you know, the enjoyment of sense, he's not letting that enjoyment take hold. Ultimately, what's driving him? Hashem said. Which is the highest level of doing a mitzvah. Kach, sivaniya, boreh, finished. Once you start getting into reasons, other problems arise. But we're talking about even if the guy will do the mitzvah, but the fact that his ultimate motivating drive is l'shem shamayim only. Now we go back to the Pesukim and we explain them. You're right, in last week's parasha, it says, last week's parasha was what? Last week's parasha was Vayit Hanan. That's true, correct. So the Pesuk says over here, V'shamatat ha-mitzvah v'tahokim v'tah-mishpatim. A person who keeps the hokim, he keeps the mishpatim. Mishpatim is a benefit. You understand them. God says you didn't suppress anything. Asher anuchim esavecha hayom la'asotam u'machal lekabel sekaram. However, v'haya in the event, ekev tishme'un et ha-mishpatim, but if you keep the mishpatim as a shimu'ah, because I heard it, not because I understand it, like Rav Sa'adiyah Gaon says, you keep a mishpat like a mitzvah shimu'ah, only because Hashem said, then already the reward will come in this world over here. Last week's parasha, you were keeping the mishpatim. You understood them. You had a hana'ah. See you later. Mahalika besicharam. This week's parasha, you're on a higher level. That the reason why you're keeping the mishpatim is medin shimi'ah. Just because it's a hook. So there's no pleasure of understanding. Then there's no pleasure. Don't worry, you're not going to lose out. The one that suppresses his pleasure in this world gets the pleasure in olam hazeh. So that's an understanding. That's one way of understanding. Yeah, but a positive robot. I if somebody told me I'm the robot of God, I would take that as a flattering compliment. Right. Oh, very good. Nice.
Rabbi, how does the pasuk prove that we're getting paid back in this world?
Uberach pri betnecha, friad matecha, deganecha, tiroshecha, yisarecha, it's all stuff here. And then by Avraham Avinu, they want to add that it says, Ekev asher shama Avraham bekoli. He kept the mishpat of taking him off like a shimua. Ekev, like the parashat Ekev. Very nice. So there's another way of understanding it, however. There's another derech, however they explain it over here. It's based on what the Hatam Sofer said. So there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avot is in the name of a rabbi called Antigonos. Antigonos, the man of Socho. In those days they used to name their kids real names. Today they name their kids Abraham, Shlomo, Avi. You know. Name your kid Antigonos. Be a man. Name your kid Antigonos. be a man. Those are real names. So anyway, there was a rabbi, and it was a Tana, no less. Today you call your kid Antigonos, you go to Atir, and say, no, Antigonos, we can't say Antigonos. Antigonos. It's not kind of, Goyish, your name is that. Put him in public school. There were Tanaim that were named Antigonos. No problem. Today you call him by his Hebrew name. Understand what I'm telling you? Anyway, the rabbi was called Antigonos Isocho. So he said in the Mishnah, "Al tiyu ka'abadim hamshamashim et harab amenat tekabel peras." Don't be like a servant that serves the boss for the reward. Not for the reward. Elai vu ka'abadim hamshamashim et harab. Serve the Rav shelo al menat lekabel peras. Pirkei Avot. You should. It's a song. So you should do it. Is it Yaakov?
It's right there.
Okay, it's a song. Zach Baruch. It was a Mishnah, but it was before it was a song. He knows it from the song. So it's a benefit. At least you're publicizing this Mishnayot. So anyway, there's a Mishnah that says, Antigonos comes along and says, don't serve God for the reward. Ela serve God, Shem Shamayim. Anyway, the Rambam says that there were two students that heard this Mishnah, Sadok and Baitos. They were students of Antigonos, and they misunderstood the Mishnah. They understood that there's no reward. They misunderstood it. They said, what do you mean? We do all this, but there's no reward? So they went off to Derech and they started two groups, Sadukim and Baitosim. And, you know, unfortunately, whatever came out of them. But that's not what Antigonos was saying. Of course, Antigonos believed in the reward. He just was saying that that shouldn't be your, you know, your drive. You shouldn't do it for the reward. Although, the reward will come. But there's a deeper way of understanding the Mishnah, what Antigonos was really saying. There's a Hatam Sofer. The Hatam Sofer has a question. He says like this, there's three systems in how you calculate a day. According to Judaism, the day starts by the night. The night, Vayerev, Vayboker. That's how we calculate a day. For example, when I do a wedding, let's say, and I'm meeting with the Hatan and Kala, so they tell me, I tell them, when is the wedding? Tell them, Thursday. Thursday now, last night, Thursday. Okay, what time is the wedding Thursday? No, we're going to do it, Rabbi, at 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. ceremony. So I tell, okay, so it's a Friday wedding. No. Thursday. That's what I'm telling you. It's a Friday wedding. Once already 9 o'clock comes, it's after sunset, Judaism, that's called Friday. So we have to date the ketubah Friday. Even though on the invitation it says Thursday. Even on everybody's watch it says Thursday. But it's Friday according to Jewish law. Because by Erev, if you get a Jewish clock, the date changes at sunset. Understand? The date changes at sunset. By Goyim it's the opposite. By the Goyim, the night follows the day. You understand? So therefore, there's no by Erev. It starts in the day. Midnight, let's say, which is the beginning of the day, let's say, for them. But it follows the day. The day is the Ikar. And the night is the same day. That means Thursday at 9 o'clock at night is Thursday for the Goyim. It doesn't change till the morning. You following? So in Goyim culture, the night follows the day. The night follows the day. There's a third system the Hatam Sofer says is by Korbanot, by Kadashim. By Korbanot, the law is that there's a certain amount of time that you get to eat each Korban. After that, it becomes Notal. You've got to get rid of it. So it'll say, for example, Shnei Yamin Velayla Echad. 2 days and one night. Which means, let's say you brought the Qurban on Sunday, they'll tell you, you could have it Sunday night, and Monday. In Qurbanot, it follows the system that the day is the main item. The day follows, the night is one day. It's not like we count our calendar, that it starts at night. In Kadashim, the day is the Ikar. The day is the main. So he wants to explain why is it like that. What's the? How does it work? What's the mechanics of how it works? So he says something amazing. He writes that. What's the reward for a mitzvah ultimately? What's the main reward for a mitzvah? The Mishnah Pirkei Avot says the main reward for the mitzvah is the mitzvah itself. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah. There's no greater reward that should be to a person in that what? He did the mitzvah. The hana'ah that the tzaddikim get from serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that itself is ecstatic. Even if there's no other reward to follow. The fact that you were able to serve the Boreh and give Nahat Ruach to the Boreh, and you know all the great things that are accomplished by doing a mitzvah of Hashem, that itself is the greatest reward for the tzaddikim. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot as well, Yafesh Sha'a Achat Shel Teshuvah Ma'asim Tovim Ba'olam Hazeh Yoter Mikol Haya Olam Haba. The tzaddikim, to them, they don't need to wait till Olam Haba for their reward. The tzaddik gets his reward already. The satisfaction that he has when he does the mitzvah, that itself is the most rewarding experience. Because he knows exactly what it means to do a mitzvah, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He asks the tzaddik, do you need a reward? For what? I got my reward already. You know what the mashal would be? Imagine the mashal where the guy from Chase Manhattan Bank tells you, you won the lottery. You can go into the vaults of Chase Manhattan Bank, 3 hours, and take all the $100 bills you can collect in 3 hours. He goes in 9 o'clock, 3 hours, he's working. The guy comes out with bundles of $100 bills. He's a bazillionaire. So after he walks out, the guy from Chase Manhattan Bank says, so you worked for 3 hours, we want to pay you for the 3 hours that you worked. You pay me for the work? Yeah, you were in there 3 hours. You probably had a job that you had to leave, so we want to compensate you for the 3 hours. He said, but I just collected $400 million. That's a separate thing over there. Because I don't need that. You're paying me a reward for a reward. The reward itself was worth the 3 hours that I collected $100 million. You don't have to pay me for that. So the same thing to the tzaddikim. When God comes to Allah gives them reward. Reward for what? Reward for reward? The father tells the kid, I want you to eat this ice cream. The kid eats the ice cream. Oh, did you eat it? Yes, here's $10. $10 for eating the ice cream? I was going to eat it anyway. I'm happy, that's my reward itself. To the tzaddik, there's no greater hana'ah than the service itself. As a matter of fact, they like Olam HaZeh better than Olam HaBa, because Olam HaBa you can't do anything anymore. And Olam HaBa you can't do anything. But Metim Chofshi, when you get to Olam HaBa, there's no more service. They'd rather live in this world more because they could serve God. And Olam HaBa you can't serve anymore. So you can't give God that enjoyment. In Olam HaBa you're only on the receiving end. They want to be on the receiving end. So they don't want to be on the receiving end. They want to be the givers. They want to give to God. So to the tzaddik, the pleasure in this world is much greater. But Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want to die. Why not? Go to Olam HaBa, Moshe. You'll sit and get an Eden and you'll go to Shekhinah. Why is he praying so much? Last week's parashah to stay alive. Why would you want to stay? Again, if a guy knows that his end is bad, so you need more time to live to fix. But Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't need to fix anything. God should tell me, coming up to Olam HaBa, it's a beautiful, nothing, I'm going to a great palace. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want to go. Why? Because in Olam HaBa, you can't do mitzvot. And to the tzaddik, the biggest pleasure is the performance of the mitzvah itself. It's a high level. Tzaddik doesn't need ulterior motives to do mitzvot. Ulterior motive. He does it because of the pleasure is itself. David HaMelech said, for example, Hani Hamadi Mizahabu Mipazra Bubtuki Middevash Venofet Sufim. Gam Abdichan Nizar Bayim. David HaMelech says, to me when I did the mitzvot, it's eating honey, it's candy, it's money, it's maple syrup, it's sap of the tree. Now you tell him, he just ate waffles and ice cream. That's the mitzvah. And so you get reward for that. The reward for that is the delicious mitzvah. What do I get reward for that for? It's a high madrigah. But I figured that, Joe. So now, when you need help selling socks, Joe, you can call me also. I'll give you advice. I got it. I'm joking. So now, amazing Hadushim, man. Amazing Hadushim. The highest level is don't do it for the pras. Because if you're doing it for the pras, that means you didn't feel the pras in this world. That's what he's meant to say. Of course there's a pras, but if you're waiting for the pras, that means you didn't receive the pras. So al menat lekabel. You didn't get it yet? I mean, that's the guy that comes out of Chase Manhattan and they get all the millions of dollars and he says, where's my payment? You're still anticipating payment there? You don't. This was not enough for you? You didn't appreciate this? Then you guys are crazy. The mitzvah is much greater than this. You're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem chose you out of the billions of people in the world. And God tells you, you run this errand for me. You chose me out of all the billions of people? That I should run this errand for you? To give you nahat ruach. And the malachim are jealous of us. The malachim are jealous when we got the Torah, they didn't want to give it to us. They said, you're going to give them all these errands to do? We want it. How come they're going to get all the zikhuyot? Give it to them. So when a guy knows that he's better than an angel, and the angels are jealous of us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is getting tremendous, like we say, Reyach Nihowah, Yishe Lashem. Reyach Nihowah, She'asar Esoni, She'na'asar Esoni, that my will was fulfilled. That gives a tzaddik tremendous satisfaction. Then you tell him in Olam Haba, by the way, there's Olam Haba. You tell Olam Haba for Olam Haba. I got Olam Haba ready. What do you mean Olam Haba? I got Olam Haba ready. Olam Haba and Olam Haba. Thank you, but I didn't need it. I was good already. So that's what Antigonus was saying. Al tiyukam shemishivitam al minat lekabel. The goal is to what? Kibalta. Not al minat, kibalta. In next week's parasha, so we have to connect Va'et Hanan to Ekev to Re'eh. In next week's parasha, what does it say? Next week's parasha, it says, forget it from year to year. Re'eh Anochi noten lefnechem ayom beracha uklala. Okay. Behold, I am giving you today beracha uklala. The rabbis come along and say that the book of Devarim is all rebuke. It's the book of rebuke. It's the book of the Tochacha, where at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, he gives them Musar. Although this pasuk doesn't look like Musar. He tells them, Beracha, look, today I'm giving you Beracha. Of course, and if not, Kilala, but if this was a book of rebuke, the pasuk should say, but he doesn't know this beracha also. Where's the rebuke in this pasuk? There's no rebuke in this pasuk. It sounds like it's a 50-50. But the Chachamim come along and say, Moshe Rabbeinu was rebuking the Jewish people. 40 years in the Midbar, you heard the 10 commandments of God, 2 out of 10. You learned with Moshe Rabbeinu, the highest prophet, for 40 years. You're eating man. You're drinking the waters of Miriam. Anane kavod. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu say at the end? And you see, the only thing that's motivating you is what? Beracha uklala. He says, Le'eh anochi notlechem ayom. He says, today, 40 years later, and all you care about is what? Beracha uklala. Beracha uklala, you should have graduated from beracha uklala. Already you should be doing the mitzvot. Because of the mitzvot. No, because the mitzvot will bring us beracha. Or the mitzvot will kill Allah. That's why that's the motivating. And so Moshe Rabbeinu has to explain it. He says, Eta beracha, you know what the beracha is? Asher tishme'u. Finish. Eta beracha, asher tishme'u. That's the beracha. Veta kill Allah, asher lo tishme'u. Finish. That's the biggest killalah. You didn't do the will of God. Ginam pales against that. And same thing with Gan Eden. It's a berakah to the spoon. You got the berakah. What's the berakah? You heard it. You listened. But I didn't get anything. You didn't get anything. You ate the ice cream. What more do you want? It's a berakah. It's my own. But the air anochin of Tindim Zechem Ayom is, look, I'm standing here today, Ayom, and still, what, how do you serve in God? Berachah Abdallah. What do I get? What do I don't get? What do you get? What do you don't get? It was a tochaha. You didn't graduate yet from this Berachah Uklala system. Understand, Rabotai?
Yeah.
Rambam writes in the Halachot, the Rambam, right? Not in the Mure, in Yad HaZakah. In the Yad HaZakah, he says, huh? Yeah, exactly. So it says, there's two ways of serving God. There's a serving God of me'ahava, and then serving God of yid'ah, out of fear. So the Rambam explains, what does serving God out of fear mean? Fear of punishment. Fear if I do this, there's going to be a repercussion. There's going to be, okay, that's a low level. Imagine that. Yirat Shamayim is a low level. Yirah. He says, well, what is Ahava? Ahava is out of love. He says, like Shlomo HaMelech says, Ki cholat Ahava ani. Shlomo HaMelech says to God, I'm lovesick. And Le'abdil, he brings a mashal, like a man is in love with somebody, and he just does it. He doesn't think why. He's just drawn after what he loves, the one that he loves, and he's driven by, you know, his ahava. And he's not thinking of any benefit or perk, because he loves somebody, just driven because of the love. That's what's driving. That's the highest madriga, according to Rambam. But those who dwell in fear, all right, fear. Fear is because you're going to get something, you're going to lose something. It's a lower level. That's what Rambam writes. So the Mefarshim explain, they use this to explain a Gemara. The Gemara says that Olam Abba, where is Olam Abba? In the heavens somewhere, it's a hidden place. The Gemara says that Olam Abba is it's Ganuz. It's hidden in the treasure of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's like Ma Rav Tufcha Asher Safanta Li Re'echa. Safanta, it's Safun. It's you know, in a, it's hidden. That's Olam Abba, it's in a hidden place. The Gemara says, Ayin lo ra'ata. It's a place where you don't see. It's hidden somewhere. We don't know Olam Abba, it's hidden somewhere. So they say in the Pasuk, Yir'at Hashem yi'otzaro. Yir'at Hashem, fear of God is in the treasure of God. The treasure. They say, "Eno la kadosh baruch hu bebet genazav." What does God have in His treasury? Ela otzar shirat shamayim. A treasury of yirat shamayim. What does it mean? You go to God's treasury, see yirat shamayim. You go to a treasury, you see money. You go to God's treasury, what do you see? Yirat shamayim. What does that mean? God has yirat shamayim. But basically, what we're saying now is, what's the treasury? That's Olam Haba. That's the otzar. Who do you see in Olam Haba? All the Yirat Shamayim guys. For them, Olam Abba is an idol. En lo lagaruchu, en la otzar shel Yirat Shamayim. You go to Olam Abba, you see all the guys who didn't have fear. They say, oh, we're enjoying. All the guys who didn't have ahava. Okay, we had it already. This is, you know, it's a continuation. Olam Abba was already on Olam Hazeh. They got the Olam Abba in this world already. So it's just a continuation. But for the Yirat Shamayim guys that were doing it for the fear and for the reward, so yeah, when they get there, the Olam Haba is an item for them. So then, but the tzaddik doesn't want to die, because what do you mean, Olam Haba, I got it over here. I want an explanation. Kol ha-shoneh halachot b'chol yom muftach lo shuben Olam Haba. So one rabbi asked me, why doesn't it say muftach lo sheyesh lo chelek le'olam haba? What does it mean muftach lo shu ben olam haba? What's the difference between yesh lo chelek le'olam haba and ben olam haba? Understand the difference? What is the difference? Just say, whoever learns halakhot every day, rabotai, guaranteed yesh olam haba. Or they say no, he's ben olam haba. So explanation they say is like this. That when a person learns every single day, when a person is enjoying his learning, and he has shiurim, and he's studying, and he has hiddushim, and he's part of something, so he's called the Ben Olam Haba. Ben Olam Haba is only used in this world. That already he's a Ben Olam Haba here. Yesh lo helek le'olam haba, that's over there. And they're telling you the goal is to be a Ben Olam Haba now. Already you're a child of Olam Haba in Olam Hazeh. If you ask the guys that are learning good and are doing mitzvot, they're excited. They have Olam Haba in this world. They're excited from the mitzvot. Tell me, there's Olam Haba for this. Olam Haba, I don't have it. What do you give me? What could you give me more? There's more. I'll take more. But I didn't need it. The thrill that I have already is rewarding enough. Maybe you. But they feel it. They feel the mitikut. They feel the hana'av, the mitzvah. They enjoy the mitzvah for the mitzvah. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah. Understand how we're learning it? So therefore it says, Kol ha'shoneh halachot b'chol yom, muftach lo shu ben ha'olam haba be'olam hazeh. You have to put that in parentheses. Muftach lo shu ben ha'olam haba. Now, ba'olam hazeh. It's true. Ask the guys that come to the shi'urim, they enjoy it. It's the best part of their day, they claim. They say, oh, we come, we sit, we learn from the book, we read, we laugh, we have a coffee, we study. Then you leave the shiurim, back to Olam Hazeh. You have to leave this holy level that we're on and go back into the into the Ulama Shafir, into the lower worlds. Anyway, so that's the way the Hatam Sofer explains it. He says, by the Goyim, the main world is what? This world. Eat and be merry today, for tomorrow you shall die. That's what the Romans said. That's the Romans' philosophy. Eat and be merry today, enjoy yourself today, tomorrow you'll die. So therefore they hold that what Hatam Sofer says, the day represents the positive, when the light is out, the beracha, the shefa. The night represents the limitations, the restrictions. Night represents darkness, can't see, it's restricted. So he says, by the goyim, the day is the main night. The day represents olam hazeh. And then what? After the day, the night follows the day. So that means after the day is over, the night follows the day. It's the same day, but then you go from day to night. You go from olam hazeh, and then after that, nothing. They hold nothing. Then you get killed. Because all their pleasure was in this world. So they go from day to night. By Klai Yisrael, it's the opposite. By Klai Yisrael, we believe that this world is the world of tests, this world is the world of nisyonot, this is the world that you have to do. Actually, you cannot enjoy yourself necessarily in this world. Not even be married today. But the next world is Olam Haba, that's Olam HaZeh, Olam HaNa'ah. So therefore, by Am Yisrael, we go the opposite. We start at the night, and we get to the day. But we start by night. However, by Kadashim are those people that are the Tzaddikim, that are Kodesh. They start by the day. Already Olam HaZeh is the day. Because they're having Hana'ah in the day, and Olam HaBa is like the night for them, because we get 20 more mitzvot. By Kadashim, it goes the opposite way, says the Hatam Sofer. And the goal is to be like the Kadashim, that already Olam HaZeh's day. I'm doing mitzvot, I'm in Gan Eden already. I'm a Ben Olam HaBa. So it's the day. But what about Olam HaBa? That's darkness compared to what I was doing in Olam HaZeh. So all these religious guys, I can't wait to get to Olam HaBa. You're a low level. I want to live 1,000 years. Adam HaRishon, he lived 930 years and he's fighting with God. I want 70 more years. 930 is not enough. 930 is not enough. More mitzvot, more hana'ah. Especially Adam HaRishon, who lived in Gan Eden, he was able to take the Gan Eden outside of Gan Eden in his spiritual perfection. Why does he want? What is he going to leave for? So therefore, the real tzaddik says, Yom, the Kedoshim, my Kadashim, it starts in the day, and then in the night happens after. Megillat Rut. In Megillat Rut, when... that's in the back? I never find it, these from my machine. Here it is. Yeah, they always put it after the place where you collect. It's like Bekata Libanai. You can never find it. Yeah, they trick you. I found it. It's on 1217. Oh, this we have a different book. So anyway, in this book over here, where story is of Ruth. So what happens? Ruth converts. Yeah, got it. Ruth converts, no? Naomi is the mother-in-law. Ruth converts. Anyway, what happens? So she goes to Boaz's field to collect. So Boaz says, I heard about you. You're unbelievable. I heard about what you did to your mother-in-law. Mother-in-law was destitute. She lost her husband. She lost two kids. Ruth could have went back and lived in the lap of luxury. She was a princess. She didn't have to go escort her destitute mother-in-law back to Eretz Yisrael, and who knows what's going to be with her. So Boaz heard about the whole story. He says, "I heard everything you did for your mother-in-law. after your husband died. She was married to Mahlon. Mahlon was Naomi's son. When your husband died, her son died. Terrible time. Vata'azbi abich ve'imech. You left your parents. You left Moab. You came to a nation that you never heard of. You didn't even know if you're going to be accepted. So he was very impressed by that chesed. It's a tremendous chesed. Now what Boaz says, tells that, Yishalem Hashem pa'olech. God should give you a reward. You deserve a reward. And your reward should be not a stam reward. It should be complete. From God, the fact that now you chose to convert, to come under His wings, it's a simple interpretation. As Boaz is saying, you're going to get a big olam haba for what you did. But the way the mefarshim, the darshanim, explain this pasuk is differently. Based on what we're saying today. Yishalem Hashem pa'olech. Boaz says, for sure you're going to get reward. Yishalem is future. For sure you're going to get the reward. There's definitely olam haba. Not like Sadok and Baitos said. Yes, Yishalem Hashem. Ruth, whatever you did, everything is accounted for. V'kol ma'asecha b'sefer nichtavim. There is a reward without a doubt. However, you know what the real complete reward is? The fact that you came and you converted, that's your reward. Don't wait for the yishalem. Don't wait for the future. Now, there's maskurtech shelema. The fact that, you're here, that you came, that already is your greatest reward. Boaz was hinting to Ruth the higher level of service. The lower level of service is Yishalem Hashem. And the higher level is Kibar Shilem. He paid you already. Utima skurtech now, Shilema. Why? Ashadbat, you came already to convert. That's the fact that you did the right thing should give you such satisfaction and gratification. Yeah, the reward will come, but you're going from night to This is amazing. We always, because we're coming from the other aspect. We're coming from the aspect of the regular guys. So Olam Haba's day. But to the tzaddik, yeah, okay, Olam Haba. Not a downgrade, but you know, compared to what we had, I was already Ben Olam Haba here. So I get the best of both worlds. I get to be a Ben Olam Haba, and I get to do my mitzvot. So I get to have my cake and eat it. And Olam Haba, they take away my ability to do mitzvot. So I just get to eat cake. I don't get to do more. Understand the Hanukkim? If that's the case, we go back to our original question. I forgot the original question. All right, we'll make up a question. Oh, so we said over here in last week's parasha, what did it say? Hayom na'asotam u'mahar lekabel sechalam. And this week's parashat says, it sounds like you're going to get the reward here. So how do you reconcile it? So it's talking about the two madrigot. What does it mean, the two madrigot? What does the word ekev mean? Ekev can mean the heel. Ekev can also mean the end. It comes from the heel. Since the heel is the end of the body, the ekev always refers to something that happens at the end. The ekev is the tail end. Is the end. So there's a beginning. And then there's an ekev. Correct? You have a rosh and an ekev. That would be the example. Rosh is the head. That's the top. And what's the bottom of the body called? The ekev. So I'm just showing that ekev can mean the end of something. So the pasuk might be coming and saying like this. Listen, in the beginning of your service, you can't serve God on the highest level of the tzaddikim. In the beginning, your service has to be Hayom la'asotam u'mahar lekabesa. That's the beginning. In the beginning, you have to serve God here, and your intention is what? Tomorrow I'll get my reward. That's the simple level. However, the pasuk is then coming to say, "V'haya ekev," which means, but at the end of your service, which means you don't want to leave this world, but still ma'al. V'haya ekev, then already tishme'un et ha-mishpatim ha'ele. By listening to the mishpatim, ushmartem ba'asitem otam, that already is the reward. You want to get to the level where the sachar is tishme'un. That's the goal. That the tishme'un is the reward,
not the end of the
world. Vidyuk, what am I getting for you? You want something? You got something already? Over here in Parashat Betchanan, it's the beginning of the road. It's okay, ayom na'asotam. Where's my reward? No, my mahal. But it's going to come a time where you're going to advance yourself, and then you're going to reach the level of ekiv, which is at the end of the story. Tishme'un et ha-mishpatim ha'ele u'shmartem ba'asitem otam. That's going to be the goal. The goal is going to be tishme'un ba'asitem. Period. Now it does not mean it's not going to be a reward. But already you received already a flavor of it in Olam Hazeh. So the Pesukim are not contradictory. It's talking about a progression. It's talking about a ma'ala. How you go from one madriga to a higher madriga. And that's what David HaMelech says. What does David HaMelech say? Ani hamadim mizahav mipaz rav. These mitzvot, when I see mitzvot, I see gold, David HaMelech says. I see silver. I'm in the vault of Chase Manhattan. I don't need a reward for going into the vault. That's my reward. When David HaMelech would do a mitzvah, he just ate molasses. He just ate honey. Umtukim medevash. Venofet sufim. So he says, Gam abdecha nizhar bahem. He says, and therefore, I'm nizhar bahem. Who wouldn't be nizhar bahem? If you're ready, you feel the mitzvot, have such a pleasure. Gam am nizhar bahem. When was he say? Beshomram ekev. Beshomram ekev rav. That's v'haya ekev. Which means, that's the lesson of ekev. The lesson of ekev is to come and tell you, not the paradigm. Now he didn't say beshomram be'et hanan rav. Beshomram Ekev, which means I shomer the mitzvah, like it says in Parashat Ekev. Parashat Ekev, it tells me the mitzvah is Asher Tishme'un. That's the beracha. At the beracha, Asher Tishme'un. Finish. You got the beracha. Now what do you want over here? So David HaMelech says, Beshomram Ekev. I keep the mitzvah. Now it could be, but it also means, and it's emet, that probably David HaMelech was like all the tzaddikim. They weren't born with that understanding. Beshomram Ekev. He's telling you, it came as a at the end. Meaning he didn't start when he was 4 years old. You have to develop it. But v'shomram ekev rav, over time of doing the mitzvot and understanding their value, so already it brought him to the madriga of
the
last test. At the end. Nizhar b'hem, I was careful. Zahir. Gam avdecha nizhar b'hem, which means I was careful in the performance of these mitzvot, because who wouldn't be? And that's the goal. The goal is to try once in a while to do a mitzvah where you feel the enjoyment of it. Some people will say, oh, you're not allowed to feel the enjoyment of it. It's not so. You're allowed to feel a feeling of satisfaction. Adrabah, that gets a person, what do you want the guy to do? You want to be a stick? Cold stick, where you're just doing mitzvot without any... Adrabah, the Gemara says, or the Igle Tal writes in his introduction, V'arevna, that we pray to God that the Torah should be sweet. Some people think that when they're learning, it's how is the learning? I didn't understand the shi'ud, I didn't understand what was going on. Baruch Hashem, Hashem Shammai. Hashem Shammai, what kind of Hashem Shammai is that? Adrabah.
You didn't enjoy it.
You Yotze Maro, you don't have to eat Maro on Pesach already, eh? You wanted the shi'ud. The purpose of the Devetah is V'arevna, you want it to be sweet, you want it to be enjoyable, not to be a burden. Today they have bubble gum medicine, so why should you take Robitussin? Take the bubble gum medicine. They have the same result. The Robitussin you spit out, what do you want it for? Take the bubble gum. The same thing, the Torah has to be given in a sweet way. And therefore you tell a guy, what? I went to the shi'ur today, I got hiddushim, I enjoyed every minute, and then they're going to tell you, about you get reward. There's more reward than this? There's more reward than what we just did? I went to a Broadway show, and on the way out, they give me everybody $100. Thank you for coming to the show. You don't come to the show. The show was a great show. Now you get $100 for the show. I'll take it. To the tzaddik, he says, what's $100? But to the guy who doesn't understand it, they went to a Broadway show in Chinese. So he's sitting there, I hope they pay me for this. I don't know, I'm waiting for the class. Wait, here's $100. Okay, I'll take $100. Which means, by erev, by boker. The show is the erev, and you don't have a bas boker. But to the tzaddik, by kadashim, it's boker here first. And then the boker, and the erev follows the boker. But kadashim is reverse. Already they have the hana'ah. That's why the tzaddikim are happy. Somebody once went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I took a rich man to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I took him there to get berachot. Took him there, he got a berachai. We leave. The guy, the rich man, you see his face like Chabbean. I said, well, and usually you take a guy to the big rabbis, they come out charged. Wow, amazing. What a feeling, what an item, what a thing. Oh, I can't believe it. I got this. Pictures, this. The Rebbe said, the guy was like, it was like a down for him. It was on the down. I tell him, what's the matter? He says, Rabbi, look at this guy here. His whole life is in four cubits with a shtender and a book. That's his whole life. He says, and he's happy. He says, my life is hundreds of square miles and I'm not happy like this guy. He says, I have a house with 40 bedrooms. I have a deal house. I have a city. I have planes. I have helicopters. I have everything. This guy's whole life is what? His whole life is in one tile. He's living in one tile on the floor with a stender. He says, don't move for 14 hours a day. And he's happy. How can he be happy? He said, that's the difference. Because he's involved in Olam Haba stuff. And he feels the Torah of the sweetness. You're involved in stuff that's Roman. It's physical stuff. And there's no happiness intrinsically in that stuff over there. So therefore, you're living in Olam Hazeh, he's in Olam Haba. And that cubit, he's in Olam Haba. That's the Olam Haba cubit. Jump into that box, you'll feel Olam Haba as well. Problem is, all of you scattered all over the place. So you don't have that Hana'at Hayim. So it depressed him. Because it hit him. He says, how can this guy be happier than me? The guy's not worth a penny. The guy has nothing to his name except books and a shtender. And he's got definitely a quality of life. He said, I have no doubt the quality of life of this man is much better than my quality of life. This guy's got 8 phones on him and stuff. He's got no way, just sitting, he's learning all day long. And I want him to be like this guy. It's not like he's learning and he's suffering. And he's asking people, please pray for me. I'm going to hold up the world, but pray for me because I'm suffering. And he's like, I'm happy, don't pray for me. I'll pray for you, I'm good. Don't pray for me, I'm good. In my balata, I'm happy. So that's the great, that's Ben Olam Haba. Ben Olam Haba is a Chama Vadya, Alam Hashem. Chama Vadya, his wife tells him, I'm going out, I left you lunch. She left him a sandwich on the thing, and she had the yabra in the water. She's soaking the yabra leaves. The rabbi, but make sure you eat. What's the matter? Make sure you eat. I'll eat. Because he knows he's not going to eat. He learns. Okay, he, to fulfill his wife's wish, he stopped in the middle, he went to the kitchen, he ate all the yabra. He didn't know what the food is. He ate 400 yabra leaves. He comes back, he's learning. His wife tells him, hey, you didn't eat the lunch. Well, I ate it. Delicious. Delicious what? What did you eat? You ate the wrong bowl. You ate the wrong item. You ate the leaves. He left the tuna sandwich, you ate the leaves. You know, eat. What is yours? She eats leaves. Okay, she gave me leaves. She eats leaves. which means, he didn't Olam Haba. You're interrupting my Olam Haba. For what? For a tuna sandwich? He don't care what's there. It's an interruption. Okay, whatever's there. It was to make his wife happy. He goes back to Gan Eden. They call you out. You're in Chase Manhattan Bull. They're giving out Slurpees. Slurpees. Get money. Free Slurpees. Free Slurpees. Jump in the lake. Keep your Slurpee. I collect the money. You see, one Tipesh walks out. No, I'll take a Slurpee. Drink it for 20 minutes. Drink a Slurpee. Go take the Olam Haba. So that's a chavad. Okay. It's a zechut for his wife. His wife told him to do it. So kibud, whatever. Shalom bayit. But it doesn't have a hana'ah from this. It's not a hana'ah from it. It's something like a burden. The eating is to us, it's the opposite. The eating is the hana'ah, and the learning is the suffering. The learning is like eating yabra, and the eating is the thing. That's why these guys, they came along. They said, no, we have a good idea. We want to make a short Birkat HaMazon, like the Ben Ish Chai said. Ben Ish Chai has a short Birkat HaMazon for the illiterate women of Baghdad. It's a great idea. Anybody that's illiterate should have this Birkat HaMazon in their pocket, because otherwise you're going to make avon by not saying Birkat HaMazon. So if you know anybody that's illiterate, you must give them a copy of this Ben Ish Chai Birkat HaMazon. Very important. For illiterate people, it's a great thing. It's a great thing. Huh? Or dyslexic people, or the illiterate people. Who the Ben Ish Chai says, or ladies, let's say, who have a hard time reading, it takes them 4 hours to read the Birkat HaMazon. So what ends up happening, they don't read it. Therefore, give them the card. Or if you know a person that didn't go to yeshiva, that doesn't know how to read properly, absolutely give them the card. You're saving him from Chas V'Shalom not making A. So now it comes, you have a guy who went to yeshiva, who knows that Birkat HaMazon Ba'al Peh, but he says, hold it, why should I say the Birkat HaMazon? It takes me 6 minutes to say Birkat HaMazon. This card over here takes me 30 seconds. So now I'm going to give it out to all the literate people. Whoa, the Ben Ish Chai wrote it for illiterate people. So someone told me once, yeah, Rabbi, listen, people are literate, it's true, but they don't have time. They don't have time. So my answer to the question is, how long do they take to eat? No, half hour. Oh, so to eat, they have a half hour. But for the Birkat HaMazon, they don't. So why not eat for 27 minutes and give 3 minutes for the Birkat HaMazon? No, you're asking too much. You're asking too much. Too much. Therefore, we want to eat for 29 minutes and 30 seconds and then do this credit card Birkat HaMazon, and we call it a day. But in the olden days, the tzaddikim were the exact opposite. The tzaddik would eat so he could make the Birkat HaMazon. The highlight wasn't the eating. The highlight was, but I can't make Birkat HaMazon unless I eat. I can't make Birkat HaMazon unless I eat. So they have to eat quickly. So now the main eye. Now bring out the entree. What's the Birkat HaMazon? Now we get to the fun. But today it's the opposite. The eating is the main item. I mean, you get the Birkat HaMazon. Oh, how do I get out of this now? Birkat HaMazon like the IRS. How do I get out of this? What do I do now? How do I figure out a way? So you get a good accountant called the Ben Ish Chai, and he says, listen, I can make a deal with you. Instead of paying 4 berachot, you could pay this. There's more words on your American Express card than on the Birkat HaMazon of this thing over here. So you'll be fine. Ah, beautiful. Now I can get out of it. So you dodge the Birkat HaMazon. And they tell you, okay, you didn't get to the high level yet over here. To you, the mitzvot still are mahal kabesa haram. But those that feel the mitzvot are sweet, bring me the mitzvot. I'm not trying to get out of the mitzvot over here. There's a lot to say on this over here. There's a lot to say. Anyway, that's what it means. The goal is that the ekev is tishme'un, that the mitzvot are just, the listening itself is the greatest gratification. We'll stop over here.